Oh, sorry. Good morning. Today we continue our series in the book of Nehemiah, and we'll be looking at Nehemiah 11 and 12. Our topic today is repopulating the city and dedicating the wall. For those of you who are new in church or who have been away for some time, this is the 11th week we are looking at the book of Nehemiah. We have looked at Nehemiah chapters 1 to 10. And just as a recap, in chapter 1, the Bible says Nehemiah's brothers came to Susa and informed him that the walls of Jerusalem are broken. At that time, Nehemiah was King Artaxerxes' cupbearer. This news made Nehemiah very sad. He prayed and fasted for many months. And one day, as he was serving King Artaxerxes, the king noticed that Nehemiah was sorrowful. In fact, the king says, "This is the sorrow of the heart," and he asked him about the matter. Nehemiah explained and said, "Why should he not be sad when the city of his fathers lies in ruins?" And the king asked him, "What do you want?" He said he wanted to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And the king granted him the permission to do this. Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem. He gathered the people and their leaders and the priests and everyone. Together, they built this wall in 52 days. However, it was not a smooth sail. 52 days sounds very quick, but a lot happened in between, starting the project and finishing the wall. Before the wall was completed, there was opposition by Israel's enemies, led by Sambalat, Tobias, and Geshem. These three men were leading a group of enemies. And their purpose was to stop the building of the wall. However, they failed. But then there was opposition from within. There were some Jews, some people, some Nehemiah's people who connived with the enemy to stop the building of the wall. And also, before the wall was completed in 52 days, there was this issue where some of the nobles have seen an opportunity to extort other people. One thing is, a lot of people came from outside Jerusalem to work in Jerusalem to build the wall. And for some of the nobles, that was a good business opportunity. And they were taxing the people. Nehemiah had to challenge his fellow Jews and request a change of attitude. When the wall was completed, the law of God was read. Ezra the scribe read the laws of God to the people. The people responded in repentance, confession of their sin, and in renewal of their covenant of love with God, which Clive explained covenant to us last week. Today we are going to look at the repopulation of the city and the dedication of the wall. And we'll go back to our passage in Nehemiah chapters 11 and 12. But I would like to start from chapter 12. I'd like us to start from dedication of the wall, and then we look at repopulating the city later. So if you turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 12, from verse 27 to 43, that's the passage that talks about dedication of the wall. To dedicate is to set apart for the Lord. It's to devote a thing to God, to sanctify a thing. all the efforts of these people building this wall, fighting their enemy, building with one hand and carrying weapon on the other hand, carrying bricks, water, sand, sweating, all of their achievements, now that the wall is being built or has been completed, they are releasing everything to God. They do not care about the names they've made for themselves or the section of the wall they built. Here they are saying, Lord, we give it all to you. They are dedicating the wall to God. They could have bragged about the things they've done. We read about some people who built a long stretch of the wall, some people built the gate, some people just built next to their homes. But in this passage, verse 27 to verse 43 of Nehemiah 12, the people are now giving this wall that they've built, they are giving it back to God. Let's read verse 27 and 43. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving, and with singing, with cymbals, harp, and lyres. And in verse 43, and they offered great sacrifices that day and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, and the joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. The joy of Jerusalem was heard far away. They are dedicating this to God not because they are being forced to do it. It was a very joyful event for them. When you have accomplished something for Jesus, do you brag about it? Or do you dedicate your accomplishment to the Lord? Perhaps you have been able to disciple a few people, been able to preach to so many people, you have helped other people. What is your attitude? Do you give it all to God? Or do you brag about it to others? Or even say, God, don't you see what I have done? The people in Nehemiah's days, because they have encountered God, as we've been reading, since the law of God was read to them, even their biggest accomplishment, the record-breaking time of building the walls around Jerusalem, they joyfully gave it over to God. And if we go to verse 30 of Nehemiah 12, I'll read that. And the priests and the Levites purify themselves, and they purify the people and the gates and the wall. They did not just give over the wall to the Lord. They return to God. They purify themselves. They purge themselves of sin. Anything that will make or that can make God angry with them, they were ready to do away with it. And this is the impact of the word of God that's been read to them. And it's not just that they are giving over the wall to God. If you read verse 44 to 47, they actually returned to the Lord and they decided to start carrying out the instructions that was given to them through Moses. If you want to understand that part of the Bible, 44 to 47, you probably need to read the first five books of the Bible, especially where the laws were given about first fruits, tithes, contributions. So just to say, the Levites is a tribe, a very big tribe, and that tribe has been given over to God. God said, these are the people that will serve me. But not all Levites are priests. So among the Levites, there are priests. And when the people give their tithe to the Levites in turn will pay a tithe of what they have received and give it to the priests. And they now come back to restore those instructions as read to them from the law of God. And also, they decided to follow the tradition that happened in the days of David and Asaph of having directors to sing. They were so happy dedicating the wall to God. This wall was precious to them. We read earlier in the book of Nehemiah, those who were involved, everybody was involved. The priest, the high priest, servants, merchants, everyone, men, women, children, all communities were involved. Of course, it must be very precious to them to be building with one hand and carry weapon with the other hand. It must be very big, must be very significant. And having done it all, they release it back to God. The most precious thing you have today is your life. You probably have heard the phrase, "I am living the life." People do say that. Or, "I am working hard to have a better life," or to have a good life. Having labored all your life to have the life you now live, or the good life you now decide to have or hope to have, the challenge is, will you dedicate your life to God? This life that is so precious to you, will you release it to God like these people? If you are here this morning and you have not put your trust in Jesus, and you would like to do so this morning, it will bring the greatest joy ever. In this passage, the Bible says, the joy of Jerusalem was hard afar off. If you put your trust in Jesus for the first time today, it will not just be hard from afar off, it will be hard in heaven. This is what Jesus said in Luke chapter 15, verse 7. "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." So if you dedicate your life to Jesus, it brings a great joy, not just to yourself, but to heaven. It brings a great joy. When the walls were dedicated, the Bible says, and the joy of Jerusalem was hard far away. These people were releasing it all to God. They don't care about their sweat, their efforts, the opposition they faced. It was all released to God. And in the second part of what happened in Nehemiah 11, from verse 1 to chapter 12, verse 25, it's about repopulating the city of Jerusalem. When Jerusalem was without walls, most people deserted it. I know there is a wall. There used to be a wall around Gloucester, I've been told. Maybe the Romans built it. And for those of us who live in modern times, walls may not really, we might probably be wondering, what's the significance of a wall? In the UK today, we have a nuclear deterrent. We have a nuclear weapon. Which means anyone that wants to attack the UK, we have to think twice. Because if you attack us, we can attack you, we can destroy you. And so many people are migrating to countries that have the weapons because they feel protected. Not many countries would like to fight with the United States today because they've got so many weapons. The wall in ancient times is like a deterrent. It's something that prevents any enemy from messing up with the inhabitants. So when the wall is broken down, naturally, people try to leave the place because it means no security. It means you can be sleeping at night and the enemies can come in. And there were not many human rights activists in those days. They butcher people. So it is horrible. So when a city has no walls, nobody wants to live there. Because when there is war, the watchmen are there watching every time. They can alert the people and say, oh, I can see some enemies coming. And people have time to escape. But without walls, it can be overrun in a minute. So a lot of people had left the city. It looked from this passage there were not many people living in Jerusalem. So it was porous, it was susceptible to attack, and there was no desire to live in it. If we go back to Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 1, and I would like us to read it. Now the leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem, and the rest of the people cast lots to bring one out of 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while 9 out of 10 remained in the other towns. I don't know if you catch that, but there is a phrase used in verse 1 of chapter 11. The holy city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the holy city. In fact, they were casting lots to decide who will live in Jerusalem. It's like a lottery thing. And if you read verse 2, and the people blessed all the men who willingly offered to live in Jerusalem. Now, we are talking about repopulating the city, of course. Oh, the wall is built, let everybody come back. But it doesn't look like repopulating any other city. There's something very special going on here. The city itself is described the holy city of Jerusalem. And those who were able to live there, the other people were blessing them. It was such a great occasion. So the question is, what is unique about Jerusalem? What is unique about Jerusalem? In the Bible, Jerusalem is also called Zion. So if you read your Bible and you read Zion, that's Jerusalem, or sometimes the city of Zion. Or it's also called the city of David, and sometimes the city of God. So there are various names by which Jerusalem has been described. It's a very ancient place. There is a story in Genesis about a king called Melchizedek. He was called the king of Salem. Some people thought maybe it was Jerusalem. But Jerusalem itself literally means Jeru, which is king, and Shalom or Salem, which means peace. The literal meaning will be king of peace or foundation of peace. But for those of you who are grown-ups this morning, you probably know that the Jerusalem we have in Israel today, still there, has not really known any peace. It's been conquered, reconquered many times. And as at now, as I'm speaking to you, there is still fight going on who owns Jerusalem. For those of you who follow the news, Mr. Trump has his own view on it. Some other leaders have their own view. And it doesn't look that there is any peace in this foundation of peace city. But in Nehemiah 11:1, the Bible calls it the holy city of Jerusalem. Why is it unique? Because Jerusalem or Zion is more than a place. It is where God and his people are meant to be. It is where salvation comes from. In Isaiah chapter 51, verse 11, the Bible says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon his head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This city of Jerusalem that is being repopulated is Jerusalem, but it's a very special city. It is holy. And one way to really understand this passage is to understand the Bible says the old covenant is a shadow of the new covenant. So the Old Testament reading is a shadow of what is to come. The Bible says there is a new Jerusalem coming. And it is more glorious than the one in Israel today. The one more glorious than the one Nehemiah and the people wore. And it's very important for us to understand the significance of Jerusalem. It is indeed the holy city of God. Let me read some of the description of this new Jerusalem that is coming to us in Revelation chapter 21. I will just jump a few verses, but let me just read some things to you. This is what the Bible says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, shining with the glory of God. Its radiance was like a most precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. The city had a great and high wall. The wall was made of jasper, and the city itself of pure gold, as pure as glass. And I heard a voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the former things have passed away. There is a new Jerusalem coming, and it is different in every description to the one we are looking at. But the one we are looking at is a shadow of what is to come. And for the shadow, the people were so committed and dedicated to do it as God has instructed them. The good thing is, the New Jerusalem is big enough to accommodate all who has ever been born into this world. And let me say to you, admission is not by lottery, as we see in verse 1 of chapter 11 here. Admission into the New Jerusalem is not by lottery. There is no need to cast lots. It is big enough to accommodate all. In Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 3 to chapter 12, verse 25, there are records of names, both of those who were lucky enough to live in Jerusalem and those who were not lucky enough to live outside Jerusalem. Some of these names are very difficult to pronounce, and I'm not sure I'll pronounce them correctly. In the New Jerusalem, a record is also being kept for those who will be able to live in it. A record is being kept. They are to record those who will live in Jerusalem in the days of Nehemiah. The new Jerusalem that is big enough to accommodate all, there is a record that is being kept. I'd like us to turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. If you are using the church Bibles, it's on page 1250. And I would like us to read verse 27, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. But nothing unclean will enter it, that is the New Jerusalem, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 23, the Bible talks about the book of Chronicles. In the New Jerusalem, there is the book of life. Let me say that your name will not be written in the book of life because you give a lot to charity organization, or because you are a nice person, or because people say that you are a nice person. Your name will only be in the book of life if you believe in Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And he also said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And it is to this end that Jesus is building his church, so that his church can live in the new Jerusalem. These people build the wall so that the city can be repopulated. Unfortunately, not all of them could stay in the city. Jesus said he's going to prepare a place for us so that where he is, we can be there also. The new Jerusalem is big enough to accommodate all. So what if your name is not written in the book of life? What if your name is not in the book of life? The Bible says in Revelation 20:15, "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Brothers and sisters, it is the desire of God that all should be saved. Saved from sin, saved from the devil, and saved from hell. And if you are here this morning and you have not yet put your trust in Jesus, there is still time while you breathe. But if you die without your name being written in the book of life, it is a certain damnation in the lake of fire. If you are a Christian this morning, you should rejoice like these people rejoice, because your name is written in the book of life. And at the end of your life in this world, you will live with God in the New Jerusalem. Do not abandon Jesus. Do not fall away, as the Bible predicts that some will do in the end time. Be encouraged when life becomes tough, when people reject you because of Jesus, when they mock you, or when they become violent against you, as many of our brothers and sisters are experiencing across the world. Rejoice, because in the New Jerusalem, there will be no more pain. Just think about it. No more pain. Some cannot come to church this morning because of pain. There will be no more sorrow. I don't know what is going on in your heart this morning. Maybe you have a sorrow of the heart. No more tears. There's nothing to cry about. No more debt. And in fact, your loved ones that died in Christ, you will get to see them again in the New Jerusalem, the holy city of God. This is the purpose. They were building the wall in the days of Nehemiah to dedicate it, that they might be able to live in the holy city of Jerusalem. Jesus is building his church so that his church might be in the New Jerusalem. This is why some of our brothers and sisters in North Korea, in Pakistan, in some countries that are very hostile to the Christian faith, their hope is set, because in the New Jerusalem, they will be with Christ. And I pray the Lord will bless his word in our hearts this morning. Amen.